AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here, and it is Wednesday. Hope you're having a great hump day so far. And Wednesday is typically the day that we get Debbie Shreve in the studio. She's not every Wednesday, but most Wednesdays. And so I'm sitting across the table from my wife, Debbie. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, Debbie, I always let Debbie choose the topic. I say, okay, you come up with something that that you want to talk about, that we can talk about together. And so she does some research and whatever's on her heart. And so today we're going to talk about an important subject, and that is the subject of dealing with the devil. This is what James tells us in James chapter 4. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Though we'll have to talk about that one because that's a strange one. Lots of us have that one down. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Okay, Debbie, let's talk about dealing with the devil, because Jesus said he's a liar, he's a thief, he's a murderer. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil is not anyone's friend. The devil promises the moon and delivers nothing except misery and chains. And so when we think about how he comes against marriages, families, individuals to wreak havoc and bring destruction, that's a tall order when we have to resist him and stand up against him.
Well, and I think his attacks can be so different for different people, because he attacks us at our weak spots. You know, he doesn't normally attack us in our strength areas, but he attacks us in our weak areas. I can remember one time going through a very difficult time and thinking, you know, I feel so defeated right now. Surely the enemy's just going to leave me alone. But it's at your weakest moment that he comes in for the kill. And so we have to constantly be on guard and constantly aware of what is happening around us. Now, that's not to say that we need to see a devil behind every bush,
right?
But he is an active enemy, and the Bible warns us against that. He has schemes and he has plans, and he has his minions that come out to do his work for him. And you know, God protects us from the devil, but that doesn't mean that we don't need to fight the fight, and that we don't need to be on guard, and that we don't need to be prepared and wise as to what his schemes are.
Well, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, we talked about James chapter 4, but 1 Peter 5, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. I was listening to a clip of a preacher, and he said something that was very interesting. He said, you know, when it comes to the flesh, we're to flee youthful lusts. But when it comes to the devil, we're to stand firm in our faith, and we don't run from the devil. He flees from us as we do the things James tells us to do. We have to submit ourselves to God. You stand in your own strength, and you're no match for the devil or the weakest of demons. Angels are greater in might and power than a human being. The Bible tells us that in 2 Peter chapter 2. So we're no match for any of the demonic horde. We have to stand in the strength of the Lord.
Well, and I think, you know, just as I mentioned previously, we don't want to, you know, think that there's a devil behind every bush. However, he comes in so slyly, and he can fool us into thinking that he's not the source of the battle. You know, I just think about different times that I've been going about my day. I'm feeling good. My spirits are good. My thoughts are good. All of those things. Then just out of the blue, I can start to feel kind of that heavy, oppressed feeling, that feeling of, I used to describe it to you as like that feeling of foreboding, like you just all of a sudden you're thinking, oh no, some shoe is fixing to drop, right? And we have to just be on guard for that and recognize what that is, because as we walk this earth, we are always in a spiritual battle, always. And we have to be wise to his schemes and to how he... his personal attacks on us, because like I mentioned earlier, his attacks on me are going to look different than his attacks on you. Not always. Often they are going to be the same, but he's going to come at us in our weak spots. And for me, it can be in my emotions of feeling like, oh no, you know, something bad is just fixing to happen. I'm just on high alert, waiting for something bad to happen. And that is not, by any stretch of the imagination, living in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, when you just have these feelings of dread and those kind of things. So I do think that as believers, we have been equipped with the Word of God, which is the truth, and that can enable us and empower us to be able to have the discernment to look at situations and see what's coming from the enemy and what his scheme and what his plan is.
Well, one thing I've noticed about the devil, he often hits us after a great victory.
Yes.
Because he knows after you've had a great victory, there's a tendency to let your guard down. And we see that in Joshua when he was taking the land. So fighting Jericho, they marched around the city and shouted, and God caused the walls to fall down, and they had a great victory. After Jericho comes the Battle of Ai. Ai is a little piddly town, just two letters. I think that gives us a picture of how small and insignificant it was. But they lost at Ai. And the reason they lost at Ai was because there was sin in the camp. Joshua didn't know it, but Achan had sinned and taken things that were the Lord's. And so we see on the heels of great victory, we see a great defeat. This is what God tells us in Deuteronomy through Moses. You remember Moses didn't get a go in the Promised Land. The mantle of leadership and the baton of leadership passed from Moses to Joshua. It's not because Moses had lost a step in his age. When Moses died, his strength was not abated nor his eye dim. Moses, this is going to be mind-blowing for some of you, but Moses committed the sin unto death that's talked about in 1 John chapter 5. When he hit the rock, and he was supposed to speak to the rock, but he struck the rock twice, and God says, okay, Moses, you can't go into the Promised Land. And so Moses was left out, even though it wasn't like he was decrepit. He was 120 years old, but back in those times, I mean, you know, Abraham lived to be 175. You could last a lot longer. And so God was moving on, and Moses was left out. So anyway, here's what Moses said to the people. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, you're on cloud nine, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. There is such a tendency, Debbie, when things are going so well and everything's coming up roses, that we forget God.
Right. We just start looking at everything like, look what I've accomplished.
Right.
You know,
you get the Nebuchadnezzar
right.
syndrome where, look, is this not Babylon the Great, which I've made,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and everything you and I have is from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And so we need to start off every day and just say, thank you, Lord, for another day to live for your glory. It's not about me. It's about you. And we remember the Lord and we submit, as James says, submit, therefore, to God.
Well, and that submitting is hard, right? Because we are just hardwired to want control. We just are. That's just innate within our sin nature, is that we want control. And when we start talking about submit, so often the verse that comes to mind is, you know, the verse that can cause the hair on the back of necks to stand up, and that is that wives are to submit to their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole concept of submission is very interesting because it doesn't really come into play until you disagree.
Right.
So in a marriage situation, I can think I'm just as submissive as the day is long until there's a decision that has to be made and you and I don't see eye to eye on that decision. And then, okay, who is going to bow to whom? Right?
Right.
And so the same is true in our walk with the Lord. I mean, we can think that we are very submissive to Him when we are just doing the things that we want to do that happen to line up with what Scripture says. But when something comes across our path and we have to choose what we want to do as opposed to what God's Word says is the right thing to do, when that is in conflict, that's where we truly can see, is our heart truly submitted to the Lord?
Right. And, you know, you have the picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He learned obedience through though he was a son, it says in Hebrews 5:8, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he suffer with? The will of God. Because he knew, I mean, Jesus knew before he ever came to this earth that he was going to have to suffer and bleed and die on the cross. The Lamb of God, Revelation 13:8, the Lamb of God was slain from the foundations of the world. But when he was right up against it, he prayed 3 times, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that is the key. So we come to the place, if you're going through a hard time, you have to end your prayer as you bring it before the Lord. I don't like this, Lord. I don't want this to go in the direction I see it going, whether that's health or whether that's a job situation, whatever it might be. But you have to end your prayer with, yet not my will, but yours be done. That's submission.
Right. And you know, it's such an easy trap to fall into where we choose our own opinions about situations over what God's Word says. I mean, that's just an easy thing because our feelings match up with our opinions.
Right.
And so if we're not serving God and if we're not surrendered to Him, we're serving something, and normally that something is self. And when we serve ourselves, we are going to get entrapped in sin. That's just the way that it goes. I was reading something that I had read recently, and it says, if we are not submitting to God and doing what He has instructed us to do, then the devil will be more prone to creep into our lives. It's like when we are not submissive to Him, we crack that door open,
mm-hmm.
and Satan normally is not going to take his time coming in that open door.
Right.
He's going to rush into that open door.
Well, and here's the thing. So remember this. A Christian can't be possessed by the devil or any demon. That's impossible because the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. But what the devil can do, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he can build a fortress, a stronghold of lies in your mind and in your heart and get you to believe wrong things. Every sin starts in the mind. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It all begins in your thought. And so we are to put the guard of the word over our minds. And any thought that comes to our minds, we have to say, wait a minute, halt. Who goes there? Show me some ID. Is this a true thing from the Lord, or is this a lie from Satan? And when we crack the door, we let the lies in. We start to believe the lies. I'm no good. God doesn't love me. I'm never going to make amount to anything. God never works on my behalf. God never answers my prayers. All those things. The devil wants you to believe all that stuff. And Debbie, as you said, the reason it's so easy to believe the lie is because it matches up with our feelings.
Right.
And the truth typically doesn't match up with our feelings. So we're talking today about dealing with the devil, how to resist him firm in your faith. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, sitting across the table from my beautiful wife, Debbie, and she always makes things more fun. I hear from people all the time, oh, I listen to your program, I really like it, but I like it especially when Debbie is on,
oh,
and
goodness.
So I tell her that often. Well, we're up against a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about dealing with the devil and how to stand firm, as the scripture says, against the schemes of the devil. And the Bible gives us different passages that talk about this battle that we're in. We have an enemy of our souls who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We are told in Ephesians chapter 6 that we put on the full armor of God so that we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us that the devil is out there. He prowls around as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but we resist him firm in our faith. And then James tells us, as we've been looking, James chapter 4, that God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. You and I can't walk in pride and walk with God. We have to humble ourselves. We have to get on our knees before the Lord and say, you are God, and I am your servant, your slave, and I follow your will. You don't follow my will. And then he goes on to say, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, Debbie, we've probably all seen enough movies that show supernatural things, evil forces and things like that, and they're very scary. And, you know, it's not a good thing for us to fill our minds with that stuff, because then it, you know, especially with kids, because at nighttime, then they start thinking about that. But the Bible is clear that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. So as we are submitted to the Lord, the devil is afraid of us as we stand our ground. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I heard years ago. I've tried to research this to see if it's really true, but here was the statement, that the devil prowls around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And this preacher made the statement that lions hunt in packs, and the roaring lion is typically the older lion who is not as nimble, not as fast. Maybe he doesn't have as many teeth. But he roars to get the prey to run so the other lions can go after them. And
Interesting.
Don't know if that's true or not, but it preaches well.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good.
And here's the correlation. The devil may sound ferocious to us, but greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We don't have to run and flee in the presence of the devil when he comes at us. We can stand our ground in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he flees from us. He's afraid of us as we're submitted to God.
Well, when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, I think that's where that next part of the passage comes in, which is that we have to come near to God. We have to draw near to him. Excuse me. And we have to be actively engaged in a relationship with him, where we're spending time with him daily, we're praying, we're reading our Bible. We're not just reading it to check a box and for information, but we're reading it to allow it to transform us and to apply it to our lives and to be able to use it to walk it out. And when we are doing that, and when we're coming near to the Lord, that's where our power source is. That's where our strength comes from, because we cannot consistently resist the devil and be victorious over the devil if we're doing it trying to do it in our own strength.
Yeah.
It's just simply not going to work, because it's like the verse you said, Jeff, greater is he who is in me. It's Jesus in us that provides the victory, not ourselves, not our flesh. It's submitting to him, and then it's drawing near to him. And we are all going to be faced with temptations, and we're all going to be faced with challenges in life. And we have to have, going into those big challenges of life, we've got to have these kind of things already established, because it's hard to obtain this kind of discipline in the midst of a heavy, heavy, hard trial. And so that's why it's so important that we walk it out all the time, that we develop a habit of submitting to him and drawing near to him and looking to him to be our strength and not ourselves.
Well, when it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble, none of us like to be humbled. But it's humility is, and being humbled is a good thing, because why? That's where you find grace. If you're going to walk in pride, God says, well, I'm going to be in opposition to you. You think it's tough if the devil comes against you. What about if God is the one opposing you? So we have to really work on humility and humbling ourselves before the Lord. I talked to the Strong Foundation guys. We meet every Thursday morning at First Baptist Texarkana for young husbands and young dads, guys that are in the thick of it, that are in marriage and family with raising up kids. You know, older guys have different struggles than younger guys. And so we talked about that, and we said, hey, guys, you have to submit yourself to God and develop this this habit of constantly yielding yourself to the Lord. The six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him, Proverbs chapter 6. The first one on the list is a proud look, haughty eyes. God hates pride, because pride is the big eye. Pride is the one that says, hey, I'm the one that's important. I'm going to call the shots. It's all about me. And God says, oh, no, it's not. Not my will, but yours be done. That needs to be the prayer of every Christian.
Well, and you know, we're, like I said, we're going to continually be facing temptations, and it's only when we're close to God that he's going to provide the help for us to overcome those. And I think it's so critical that we remember that, just like that verse in Hebrews says, we don't have a high priest who doesn't relate to us, that can't understand.
Right.
That's not the kind of high priest that Jesus is. He's one that was tempted in every way that we are tempted.
Right.
Yet he did not fall into that temptation. He did not fall into sin. And I think about that just in something just recently that I went through, where I was just pouring out my heart to the Lord and in my journal, and I was just saying, you know, Lord, I guess as I'm dealing with this situation, one of the main emotions that I have finally figured out I'm feeling, because sometimes it takes me a while to figure it out, but I was feeling very betrayed. And I remember just immediately God dropped into my spirit, I get it. I was betrayed, you know, and it, just that reminder that, hey, he understands. So we can take our temptations to him. We can draw near to him. He's not going to beat us with a lightning bolt. He's there to help us and to come to our aid and to provide victory for us. Because like you said before, we come at it from a place of victory. We know how the story ends. He's won. And so we come at it from that vantage point, not as, oh, golly, golly, I'm wringing my hands. I don't know what I'm going to do. How is this going to turn out, kind of thing? God's sovereignty and his will and his plan and his purpose is going to come to fruition.
Right.
Period. Because he has won the victory for us already.
Well, we draw near to God, and he promises, hey, I'll draw near to you. It's what it says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So when you truly draw near to God, you can rest and be confident in the fact that he says, I will draw near to you. It's not going to be you're pursuing God and God's a million miles away and says, forget you. No, he's going to come to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Oh, that's a good one.
We come before the Lord, and we confess our sins to God, and we receive cleansing. Now, remember this. There is no sin that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. When we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from ALL, all unrighteousness, whatever that unrighteousness is. I had mentioned Jeffrey Dahmer on the program, I think it was yesterday or the day before, but when you think about how sinful, evil, wicked that guy was, I don't want to go into all his sins, but you can do a Google search and read good night. If you said, pick a guy that's too sinful to save, you'd say, okay, that guy, he'd be in my top 10. But he placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He got beaten to death in prison for his crimes, but he put his faith and trust in Jesus. And will you see Jeffrey Dahmer in heaven? Based on the word of God and the testimony that came out of his own mouth, you know, we can't check his heart, but based on what he said, yes, because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, no matter how sinful, will be saved. So when we come before the Lord, no matter what you've done, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, we can be set free, washed of all our sins by the blood of the Lamb.
Well, and what's interesting is that we live in a culture that does not like that word repentance. They don't want the word repentance linked up to your relationship with the Lord. They're so focused on the fact that the Lord is good, that He's loving, that He's forgiving. I mean, we hear that over and over and over again. And He is those things. I mean, the Bible tells us, hey, just come as you are, because God is a good, loving, forgiving Father. But that describes Him. That doesn't describe us. We are not good. We right. are not loving. We are not forgiving. And so we have to change. We have to submit and we have to repent. And, you know, so often the devil tells us that, hey, you can just sin and get away with it. It's not a big deal. Just do what you want to do. Live however you want to live. You're in control of your own future, your own destiny, your own fate. But, you know, sin never builds us up and gives back to us. Sin only steals from us.
Right.
And that's one of the devil's lies. And so we have to turn away from that whole idea of living in sin, and we have to truly repent, have godly sorrow mm-hmm. over the things that we've done, not just that we've gotten caught in doing those things, right. but godly sorrow that our actions broke God's heart. And we were talking this morning, and I love these little phrases that you use about the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian when dealing mm-hmm. with sin.
Yeah.
Do you want to share that?
Well, I got that from Adrian Rogers, but he talked about the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, and he says this, you know, a Christian will lapse into sin, and he loathes it. He feels dirty and guilty, so he lapses into sin, and he loathes it. A non-Christian leaps into sin, and he loves it. And so think about a pig. You know, a pig's nature is to wallow in the mud. So if a Christian falls in the mud, we feel dirty. But if a pig is in the mud,
it's his happy place.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, what are you doing in the mud? I love the mud. I was made for the mud. And here's the thing, when we come to know Christ, He changes us. We're no longer, and 2 Peter says this, as a dog returns to its vomit, so does the fool in his folly, and as a sow returns to wallowing in the mire. Well, as a child of God, He never calls us dogs and He never calls us hogs. He's transformed us. We're children of God. So our nature now is not to return to our own vomit. Our nature now is not to wallow in the mire. Our nature is to come out from among them and be separate. And so cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Hey, we always have to go before the Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we come before the Lord continually to receive cleansing from the sins of the day, so that our hearts can be made right with Him.
Well, and then when we talk about that second part, but you know, the washing your hands is the repentance element, but the purifying your heart, that means that we have to keep ourselves in the Word, and we have to dwell on those things other than just the things in the philosophies going on in the world. And if we go back to Philippians 4:8, it's pretty clear those things that we need to be dwelling on. We dwell on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so it's thinking on these things constantly. That's how we build that fence to guard our mind. When we are purifying our thoughts and purifying our hearts, and we're dwelling on the things that the Bible tells us to dwell on.
Well, okay, how about this verse, James 4:9, kind of catches us by surprise. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy gloom. So I know you've studied that, Debbie.
Well, it's not a fun thing, is it, to be in that position?
Well, you know, somebody would read that and say, I don't understand why the Lord is telling us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's in terms of sin.
Right.
We need to be miserable about our sin, mourn and weep over our sin. Hey, listen, as we think about what's going on in America, we need to be miserable and mourn and weep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to see how sinful we've become, and all the millions of babies we've murdered in the womb, and how we're destroying kids with transgender insanity, and the policies that we make, the money that we spend on things that are just an abomination to God. That ought to break our hearts.
Right.
And we should mourn and weep, and we should be miserable about that and call upon the Lord because of the sins of our nation. Jeremiah did that. Daniel did that. That's important to do.
Well, and you know, I was thinking about that after the debacle of a debate that we had, that we experienced recently. And I just have been praying in my time with the Lord that, hey, Lord, if you can save Nineveh, wicked Nineveh, that truly didn't even want to repent, you know, if you can save them and restore Nineveh, you can do that to the United States if that's in your will. And so I just keep praying, Lord, I know that we don't deserve it. I know that we're not worthy of it because of the sins that we as a nation have committed ourselves to. But Lord, please be merciful to us and save our country.
Yeah, the great verse in Ezekiel 18:32, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. That's what the Ninevites did. They responded to the preaching of Jonah. They repented and they were spared. They lived. America needs to do the same, and the Christians need to take 2 Chronicles 7:14 to heart and put it into practice. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife Debbie. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you with a question or comment. Give us a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here talking to my wife, Debbie. We're in James chapter 4. We're talking about dealing with the devil as James tells us what to do. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, please give us a call. And Debbie, you are going to finish out that passage that we just read with James 4:10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. It's kind of a summation of what he's already said. But
right, because we it's the humility that enables us to do the other four things, mm-hmm. right? I mean, without humility, we're not going to submit. We're not going to even feel the need to draw near. We're definitely not going to repent and wash our hands. We're not going to grieve. We're not going to mourn. We're not going to do those things. So humility is so critical in the life of a believer. And I had read this in a book I'm reading currently that it said this, nothing will impede you living victorious like the sin of pride. Because pride is so deceptive. And you can think you're the most humble person on the earth, but in all likelihood, you have pockets of pride in you because we all do. Mm-hmm. And so to just be constantly on guard against when that pride rears its ugly head, because it will rear its ugly head given the right circumstances, mm-hmm. it will. And it's the arrogance that we have of thinking that anything we do in and of ourselves is pretty great. Because there is that balance there because God has gifted us. He has imparted skills to us and talents to us. And he does want us to use those gifts and talents that he has so graciously given to us. But we have to do it under the umbrella of submitting to him and seeing him as the source and him as the one that is glorified in it, not ourselves. And it can be real easy for us in our flesh to just break our arms patting our own backs on all the good on all the good things that we do and how great we are and how self-sufficient we are and all these other things. But our confidence and our hope is not found in our abilities and in our skills and in the giftings, even those things that God has gifted us with. Our confidence and our hope is found only in Christ.
Well, as you were saying, you know, pride is one of those sins that every one of us deals with, and
right.
you deal with on a regular basis because your flesh that we battle with, what is the flesh? If you spell it backwards and take off the H, you read this word, S-E-L-F. The flesh is self, and self is the big I. It's pride. It's what you want and how you want to be in charge. And so the devil will allow things, and God, you know, the devil can only do what God allows him to do, Job chapter 1. But the devil will come at you with all sorts of things to try and get your goat, so to speak, to try and get that pride to rise up. And we have to constantly, as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The flesh has been crucified. And so every day we bow our knee before Jesus and say, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I am your servant. You died for me, and I have been crucified with you. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and delivered himself up for me. That's the only way for a Christian to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're not living that way, you're living in the power of the flesh. And Romans chapter 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God because God hates the flesh, because the flesh is self and self is pride, and God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Have you ever noticed how you can just be cruising along through life thinking everything's going really great, not necessarily being aware that you're struggling with pride, and then something happens and you are grossly humbled? You know, I mean, life just has a way of doing that. The Lord has a way of doing that, of just putting you in a circumstance that you didn't even really even see it coming. And then all of a sudden, you are just grossly humbled mm-hmm. over whatever the situation may be. I mean, I know that I've had that happen multiple times in my life, sadly. I mean, I wish that weren't my testimony, but it's just true that it is.
Yeah, and we can get mad or we can remember God gives grace to the humble.
Right.
And just say, Lord, this is your avenue for me to have your grace. And mm-hmm. so I thank you for this situation. Well, we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840, and we have Tim on the line from North Carolina. Tim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Just want to let you know I enjoy listening to you, and I also enjoy listening to your wife, Debbie.
Thank you, Tim.
The subject matter you're on today is something that's really intriguing. I've had conversations with my family, especially one daughter and my wife, and this has been fairly recent. I actually told them about, you know, you had a message not too long ago about the names of the devil, the names of the angels. Mentioned mine about Lucifer. I really enjoyed that.
Right.
We had a lot of thought about what's going on in our nation. And so I'll try to be quick as I can. But I got a question. I said, do you think Satan, the devil, works, and his demons, they work corporately? I know he works individually, mm-hmm. because he works on all of us. But as a Christian, as you said, we are possessed. We're not possessed by him. We have the Holy Spirit. And so with the Holy Spirit, you have discernment, so you can discern. So mm-hmm. the way I see it and the way we see it is there's just, and especially in Washington, D.C., I'm not saying all Democrats, but I'm saying especially in the Democratic leadership, that it's like they've been given over to a delusion mm-hmm. that they are possessed by the devil and his demons, that they actually think what they're doing is right. They just can't discern. They can't discern what we can discern as Christians, right from wrong. I mean, it seems like you could be able to determine that, but I just think they're so possessed or they're just so ingrained with demonic activity and they don't have the Holy Spirit, they can't discern. So right. I guess this is what my question. Do you think that the devil works corporately? That he works groups?
Sure.
And in large numbers. We really think it's spiritual warfare. If we could actually see what's going on, that's like this big war going on.
Right.
For sure.
I totally agree, Tim. You know, the Bible says, you know, Romans chapter 12 in the Phillips translation, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So when we talk about the three battlefronts for a Christian in spiritual warfare, it's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil is involved in all those two other areas. He's involved in the world and pushing the world into a specific direction, and he's involved with tempting you in the area of the flesh. So yes, he is at work. He's the prince of the power of the air, and he's working in the sons of disobedience. Now, as far as those many on the left, you know, anybody advocating for transgender insanity, for abortion, and open borders, all those things that don't make any sense at all, that they defy common sense, they defy logic, they defy science, they defy scripture. Anybody that would advocate for those things, you say, how can you really think this is a good thing? Well, Romans 1, they've been given over to a depraved, reprobate mind. That's a mind that does no longer function correctly. And so 2 + 2 does not equal 4 anymore for those people. Anybody that would stand up and say, well, I can't define what a woman is. You know, yes, a man can become a woman. As Tim Walz does, puts tampons in the boys' bathrooms. I mean, that's just ridiculous, insane. I've said this for a long time. My young granddaughters, when they were 4 or 5 years old, they knew the difference between a man and a woman. They could give a better answer than the Supreme Court Justice Brown did in her hearings. Well, I'm not a biologist. I can't tell you and define a woman. Well, really? I mean, that's amazing that you don't know what a woman is. And that's Matt Walsh's movie, you know, what is a woman? And these professors and these learned people, they couldn't tell you, or they wouldn't tell you. But yeah, they're being deceived by the enemy. They're buying into a lie. They're letting the world squeeze them into its mold, and they're looking at life apart from God and apart from the Word of God, and that's where that leads. So I would totally agree with what you're saying.
Well, and deceived people deceive other people.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's just part of it. And I know that in my prayer time, golly, for at least the last year, if not even longer than that, I have just been constantly praying that the lies that we are hearing and all the deception that is taking place, that God would just uncover that in such a miraculous way that it could not be explained away or denied. That we have been deceived and lied to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're seeing some of that to some degree. We have different, let's just take the COVID vaccine, for example. We have studies now, scientific studies that are coming out with truthful evidence of what it did and it didn't do, mm-hmm. and how we were deceived in a lot of that.
Right. I just think that we're living at a time where the emperor has no clothes and the people are just... they're just buying into, okay, these are my talking points, this is what we're supposed to do, and they just knuckle under, okay, I'm just going to go along with this and ooh and ah over the emperor's wonderful invisible suit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when the little kid says, well, he's not wearing anything,
right.
And calls him out. So anyway, good comment, Tim, and I appreciate you listening to the program, and we totally agree. The devil is working in a massive way and in a massive scale. So we have Mary on the line from Oklahoma. Mary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, I really listened to Tim. I think we're decaying from the inside out.
Yes.
I don't know if many people older would remember that Khrushchev banged his shoe on a podium. I think it was at the UN. He said, we will bury you and we won't even lift a gun.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many people really remember that. And with Nineveh, there is a chance that we could come together with God. But, boy, things are just decaying everywhere.
Right.
And I have a lot of anxiety over this. And I think that some of the people, probably not all of them, they know exactly what they're doing. This would maybe be the deep state. And they're trying to bring us right into the Antichrist. And they know what they're doing.
Yes.
And then I think there's other people that, like you were talking about on the last call, that they just can't, for some reason, can't see it. And they do think it's a good thing. But, I mean, the Antichrist and the global government has no God. And the state becomes God.
Right. Well, it says... 2 Timothy chapter 3, but realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self and lovers of money. And I think we see that just across the board. People can be bought very easily. They love themselves. They don't love God. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They don't do that. They love themselves. They put themselves on display. Look at me. And social media really plays into that. Lovers of self, lovers of money. When it's all about you, then you want to have more money and more power to vaunt yourself and to display yourself. And so you're very easily manipulated. People talk about the FDA. Well, the FDA is bought and sold by... big pharmaceutical companies. You watch about the documentary on the Sackler family that came up with OxyContin. They would just schmooze and wine and dine the FDA guy until he finally succumbed and said, okay, I'll sign off on your drug. Well, their drug killed it just untold thousands, hundreds, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, destroyed people's lives, and the FDA should have caught that, but they didn't, because they're lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, and all those things. And so, Mary, here's the deal. God doesn't want us to be afraid. We're on the earth for such a time as this, and so we just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and just remember, I have to remind myself this often, my number one job on this earth is to be his witness, and we shine, we share, and the light is the brightest when it's darkest. If you turn on the flashlight at noon, you don't see it, but you do it at midnight and it's very well seen. So, I appreciate your call. Penny, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening to the program. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And it's always a joy when Debbie's on the program. She just makes everything more fun because she's a fun person. So remember, you're a witness for Jesus. If you have given your life to Christ, you are His witnesses. And so be a faithful witness. Shine for Christ today. Share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as His faithful witness. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.